sitting here with all humbleness, I wish to offer my gratitude to all of the assembled ladies and gentlemen who have come this evening to celebrate this very auspicious spiritual festival. It is said in Shastra, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Sastra Koi, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. It is the conclusion of all the revealed scriptures that there is nothing so precious as associating with saintly people. Even a moment's association with those who are sincere devotees of the Lord can open the doors to the highest perfection. Mahat sevam dwaram ahurava muktes tamo dwaram yoshita sanghi sangha. The most important consideration in our lives is the association we keep. Just as if you put an iron rod in fire, it becomes red and hot like fire. If you put that same iron rod in ice, it will become cold like ice. It is the law of nature. The people, the activities, and the things that we associate with very deeply influence our consciousness and make us what we are. Therefore, throughout history, pious people who were seeking spiritual truth and eternal happiness would assemble in such gatherings this evening to come together to hear and chant the glories of the Supreme Lord. My very special gratitude to my elder godbrother and dearest friend, Shamsundar Prabhu, for organizing this festival this evening. Shamsundar Prabhu, as we have heard, met our beloved Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada in 1967. Srila Prabhupada saw in him and his wife Malati that they would take all risks. There was nothing impossible to achieve in the service of the Lord, because they saw Srila Prabhupada. He was performing miracles at every moment and every day. He would say that impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. So in his association, they gave up all sinful, impious deeds, surrendered to a life of very high purity in service to God, and were willing to do the most incredible services for humanity. In 1971, under Srila Prabhupada's direction, Shamsundar Prabhu, along with Giriraj Swami Maharaj and Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, organized a 14-day festival where tens and thousands of people assembled here to hear Srila Prabhupada speak. Shamsundar Prabhu, it was his burning heart's wish to do the service again. This time, to show the people of Bombay, India, and the world the glory of Srila Prabhupada's mercy. as it is so dynamically, vibrantly living today. How hard he worked, how deeply he prayed to bring us all here together this evening. Let us very sincerely offer our deepest gratitude and appreciation to Shyamasundara Prabhu. What we see tonight is just a drop of the oceanic love that he has for Srila Prabhupada and his devotees. This Cross Maidan Festival is a very emotional experience for me, because it was here 34 years ago that a seed was planted within my heart that completely changed, transformed my entire life. The supreme gift, the great treasure of the highest fortune, was placed in my life in this very place. With your permission, I would like to speak something on that subject. When I was 19 years old, I left my home in America. My family was quite wealthy. They provided me all security, a wonderful future of business and wealth and so many other comforts. But I saw the people who had so much money, fame, prestige, there was little substance or meaning to their lives. And I perceived their happiness to be so superficial and usually not even there at all. So I pondered, there must be a meaning and purpose to life. In this spirit, I decided to dedicate my life in search of God. So as a teenager, I left home and went to Europe to study the Christianity and Judaic philosophies and faith. I had no money, so I hitchhiked overland to India. Why India? Because from what I have read, from what I had even slightly experienced, India was renowned as being the wealthiest place in the entire world for culture and spirituality. It took about 6 months of hitchhiking. I went through the Middle East and studied Islam under masters there, and finally came to India. I came at night. It was very troublesome. But as soon as I arrived, I can tell you, I honestly felt that I had come home to my mother. I went to Himalayas and accepted the life of sadhu, living in the jungles, searching out spiritual teachers, traveling. In my travels, I was passing through Mumbai. Walking down the street in this neighborhood, I saw a large hoarding that said, Hare Krishna, festival at Cross Maidan. So being very, very much interested to learn from various spiritual paths, I came here. It was the evening about this time, at this time of the year as well, in this very place. There was about 25,000 people assembled, and Prabhupada sat on asana, surrounded by devotees from all over the world. And I was sitting in the back corner in this direction. And Prabhupada spoke to one devotee, Gurudas Prabhu. And then he came all the way to the back, took me by the hand, and said, Srila Prabhupada wants you to sit with him. I asked, how does he know me? I had never met a devotee at this time of Krishna. He didn't answer my question. He pulled me through the crowds of thousands and brought me to the stage where Prabhupada welcomed me and offered me a place to sit. It was here that I first met my eternal father, my spiritual master, and that person who has bestowed so much compassion upon me that I have given my life, my soul, my everything to try to assist him. When Srila Prabhupada was sitting here in Cross Maidan, I heard him explain the history of the Hare Krishna movement. He described how this movement is eternal. According to the scriptures, Tene Brahmahridaya Adakavye Muyanti Atsuraya, at the very beginning of creation, the Supreme Absolute Truth, Krishna, spoke to the heart of the first created being, Brahma, transcendental knowledge. And this knowledge was passed down from Brahma to Narada, to Vyasadev, 5,000 years ago, Krishna spoke that same knowledge to Arjuna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. In the fourth chapter of Gita, Krishna says, Evam parampara praptam, that this eternal truth must be understood through the system of disciplic succession, from one master to the next. In the age of Kali, a person may have charisma or a lot of good philosophical logic, or may be able to perform magical wonders, but that does not ensure that they can give us the truth. Krishna tells us the real quality of a spiritual master who can reveal the truth is that person who is the humble servant of a spiritual master who speaks the truth. That same truth that has been passed down since time immemorial. When our beloved Guru Srila Prabhupada was a young man, he met his spiritual master in Calcutta. At their first meeting, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur instructed him, "You are an intelligent young man. You should take this message of Lord Chaitanya and teach it to the English language all over the world." 500 years ago, according to the Krishna scriptures, Krishna Varnam Fisa Krishnam Sango Panga Shaparashanam Yagyai Sankirtana Praya Yajanti Hishumedasha. Krishna descends as the Yuga avatar of Kali Yuga in a beautiful golden form, and that is Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who came to this world in the role of a devotee to teach us by his words and by his example how to practically perfect our lives by following the message of Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada took that order in his heart. He pondered upon it and prepared himself for the next 40 years. In 1960s, actually in the 1950s, Srila Prabhupada made his residence in Vrindavan and accepted the renounced order of life, sannyas. He was living in the holiest part of the holiest place in all the world, at Seva Kunj, the temple of Radha Damodar, where Krishna is eternally performing his Rasa-lila. That was Prabhupada's residence. All around him, people were chanting the names of God and worshipping Krishna. He was 69 years old when he decided to leave Vrindavan. Why? Most people, if they go to Vrindavan, it's usually because they're old and retired and it's a place to die. But he wanted to take the unlimited treasure of the culture of Vrindavan and the knowledge of Gita to the world. Why? Paradukaduki. Because a great personality is to be known, especially by their love for God and their compassion, their deep compassion for all living beings. Srila Prabhupada came to Bombay. And here, Miss Sumati Murarji offered him, after he begged for weeks, a passage on a cargo ship to New York. MV Jaladut. Prabhupada writes in his diary that he left on Friday, August the 13th of 1965, from the King George Harbor in Calcutta. Shortly after his journey began, while crossing the Arabian Sea, at the age of 70, he endured great physical problems. There was seasickness, nausea. He had two major heart attacks in the middle of the ocean with no doctor, no family, no one except Krishna. But he had a vision where Krishna, with all of his incarnations, took control of the ship to assure him he would reach his destination safely. Srila Prabhupada writes in his diary how he was feeling such immense separation from his home in Vrindavan. And his worshipable lordships, Radha Damodar, Radha Govinda, and Radha Gopinath. But how he felt so much happiness because he was executing the instruction of his guru and Krishna. Approximately a month later, after such major physical challenges, he arrived in New York. In New York, he was living in Bowery, a ghetto. I heard Prabhupada say on the stage in Cross Maidan how he struggled alone with no help for over 1 year. Recently, I had met with one lady who told me a beautiful story which really reveals Prabhupada's compassion. He was living with a young man in a loft. A loft means a warehouse on the fifth floor of a very old condemned building. And it was his hope, after all this time, he would make that into a temple. And he saw everything so positive. The world is simply a manifestation of our own consciousness. What we would consider a most horrible situation, Prabhupada was seeing as a most blessed opportunity to serve Krishna and help others. He had hopes. One day, very early morning, this lady who lived some blocks away heard a knock on her door. She opened the door and saw it was Prabhupada, who was then known as Swamiji. She had attended his lecture in the loft some days before. Prabhupada stood there with a little suitcase in his hand and told her and her husband that the person he was living with became intoxicated on drugs and actually attacked him to kill him. Here he was, 71 years old, and he had no place to go. He asked if he could stay with them for a few days till he found another place. Why didn't he go back to Vrindavan? He had his return ticket. Everyone he knew in India was telling him, "Come back, come back. What you're trying to do is impossible." But he stayed on, enduring such humiliation, physical hardships. Because he had such deep compassion for you and me. Now, sometimes a father or mother will undergo difficulties for their children, or a friend for a friend. But Prabhupada was risking his life. Prabhupada left the place of Krishna's Ras Leela to live in a horrible materialistic place out of his love for people that apparently he didn't even know. Why? Because Prabhupada saw within the heart of every living being is an eternal part and parcel of Krishna. That love of God is dormant within everyone's heart. But due to the cloud of ignorance, people are struggling and striving to find the essential pleasure of love through so many material endeavors, which implicates them deeper and deeper and deeper in karmic bondage. He had no money. He came to America with 40 rupees, which could not be changed. He had nothing except faith in God and his holy name and a few books. When Srila Prabhupada saw the wealthy people of New York in their limousines, Cadillacs, Mercedes, he wasn't like many Indians who go to America who want to have what they have and be what they are. He wept tears of sympathy that these poor people, their hearts are poverty-stricken without love of God. All these superficial, external, so-called pleasures are simply distracting their minds from the real purpose and meaning of life. At death, everything is finished. And when that may come, padam padam yadvi padam natesham, it could be at any moment. But one who has knowledge and love of one's eternal nature in relation to God, that is real happiness. That is truth. Yes, Srila Prabhupada was willing to risk anything and undergo any difficulty to give us that treasure. Shortly after that, that lady and her husband became Prabhupada's first disciples, Janaki and Mukunda, amongst several others. Srila Prabhupada's compassion was so deep. The more we can appreciate it, the more we will understand who is Krishna. What was Prabhupada's miracle? He took people who were addicted to every type of sinful activity and had no conception of God. Within a couple years, there were tens and thousands of such people on every continent of the earth, following the regulative principles, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating, and taking vows to chant at least 25,000 names of Krishna every single day, and willing to give their hearts and their lives to assist Prabhupada in giving them the great treasure, giving others the great treasure that he had given them. In a few years, Srila Prabhupada established over 100 temples. In 1971, the first major large-scale preaching program was here at Cross Maidan. Very historical. Prabhupada explained then, what is Krishna consciousness? He said it is the essence of all religions. What is religion? Religion means to live in harmony with truth, with God. The word yoga means to reconnect with our original source. The word religio comes from the Greek, the word religion comes from the Greek word religio, which means to bind one's back to one's source. Srila Prabhupada explained that originally every living being has pure consciousness. And he gave an example. Just like a drop of water, when it falls from a cloud, it is transparent. But when it falls upon the dirt of the world, it becomes muddy. Similarly, originally our consciousness is pure. The nature of the soul is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss, Satchidananda. The nature of the soul is to know God and love God. But in contact with material nature, gradually our consciousness becomes more and more muddy. What is that mud? The upadis or misconceptions that we identify with who we are not and what we are not. We're thinking with these temporary bodies. I'm Indian, I'm American, I'm African, I'm Russian, I'm man, I'm woman, I'm Hindu, Christian, Muslim, Jewish, Jain, Zoroastrian, I'm rich, I'm poor, I'm high caste, I'm low caste. This is all mud. It's all artificial impositions. The purpose of life is to bring our consciousness back to its original, natural, pure state. To know and love God. The Bhagavatam describes Savai Pungchang Paro Dharmo Yato Bhaktir Hokshaje. Ahoitaki apratihata yayatma suprasidati. The supreme occupation for all humanity is that which brings about the awakening of loving service to the Supreme. Such service must be uninterrupted and unmotivated to completely satisfy the self. What is the absolute truth? Srila Prabhupada explained that Krishna consciousness is the essence of all religions. He said it's not a matter of being Hindu or Christian or Muslim or Buddhist or Jewish or Jain or any other. It's a matter of actually understanding the Sanatana Dharma, the eternal nature of the soul in relation to God. Janmadyasha yataha. Vedanta Sutra declares that the absolute truth is Him from whom everything emanates. Krishna tells in Gita, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate iti matva vajante vam buddha bhava samanditaha. That I am the source of all spiritual and material world. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my loving service and worship me with all their hearts. The Bhagavad Purana describes there are three features of the Absolute Truth, which is very, very critical to understand. Vadanti tat tattivitas tatvam yajganam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti sabjyate. The Absolute Truth can be understood from three different points of view. There is Brahman, the all-pervading, impersonal, absolute, the light that is everywhere and in everything. and those who practice the process of mental speculation, they try to merge into that absolute truth. The impersonal light of Brahman is the Sat Angsha, which means the eternal aspect of the truth. And deeper than that is Paramatma, which is the Chit Angsha, the super soul, the Paramatma, who is seated within the heart of every living being. And yogis, through meditation, historically, try to come in contact with that Paramatma within their heart. And the Ananda Angsa is Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, who has a form and a personality eternally. Ishwara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. From Brahma Samhita, we learn that Krishna is the supreme controller of all controllers. He has a body and a personality that is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. A completely spiritual form that is all attractive. Ananda Mayo Vyasat. Vedanta Sutra declares that every living being, being part of the Supreme, is searching for pleasure. And what is that pleasure? To understand, to realize the all-beautiful, all-merciful personality of Godhead. Sometimes there is debate whether God is personal or impersonal. But according to the scriptures, simultaneously, the Absolute Truth is both personal and impersonal, eternal. In the impersonal realization, we can get peace, relief from the struggles of the dualities of material life. But to find the Ananda, the ecstasy of love, we must surrender in love to Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Aishwaryasya samagrasya viryasya yashashashriya. What is the definition of Bhagavan? One who for all times possesses all beauty, all knowledge, all strength, all fame, all wealth, and all renunciation. The proprietor of everything that exists. Krishna tells in Gita, what makes anything or anyone beautiful and attractive in this world? It is because they are manifesting a spark of His splendor. How much we can become attracted to another human being, infatuated with affection, but at the time of death, can we love the corpse? What is the difference between a living body and a dead body? It is the person, the soul, the Atma. And that Atma being an infinitesimal part of Krishna has such a power to attract our heart. When we actually understand Krishna as He is, the most essential need of every heart is fulfilled, which is to love and to be loved. Krishna has three energies. Parasya Shaktir Vivadaiva Shruyate. His spiritual energy or Chit Shakti. His
material energy, or Maya Shakti, and his Tatastha Shakti, or the spirit souls, his marginal energy. Mamayavam so jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana. Gita tells that we are all part and parcel of Krishna. We have the same quality as Krishna. But quantitatively, we are like a sun ray in comparison to the sun planet. The nature of the part is to serve the whole. Jivarasvarupoi Krishnera Nityadas. Therefore, the eternal constitutional position of the soul is to be the eternal servant of God. But to serve with love. Everyone is serving. We're either serving our mind or our senses or our family or the government or our employers or our employees. We cannot live without serving. But the ultimate fulfillment of that nature originates in our loving service to Krishna. But somehow or other, our pure consciousness has come under the influence of Maya, which is like a cloud. Material energy cannot cover Krishna. A little cloud cannot cover the sun. The sun is thousands of times bigger than the earth. It can only cover our vision of the sun. The cloud of forgetfulness of our eternal true identity in our relationship with God is the source of all suffering. In this cloud of illusion or Maya, we are identifying ourselves with what is temporary. Dukalayam ashashvatam. We're trying to find eternal satisfaction through a temporary body and temporary objects. Therefore, we could never be satisfied. Krishna tells in Gita, trying to be satisfied by any amount of material arrangements, whether it be wealth or fame or sense pleasures, is like trying to extinguish a fire by putting fuel in it. The hunger grows only greater and greater and greater. Prabhupada gave an example. We're looking for water. We're starving in a desert. We need water. It's a necessity. But we see a mirage. A mirage is when the heat of the sun reflects off the dry sand and makes it appear to be a wonderful, cool reservoir of fresh water. We see it from a distance, and we run, and we run, and we run. We use all of our efforts to somehow or other get to that water, and finally we reach it. And we take it in our hands, and we drink it in desperation, only to find ourselves with a mouthful of hot, dry sand. In the same way, no material comforts can satisfy the needs of the soul. This body is a vehicle. Petrol is food for vehicle. And we should take care of this vehicle. It has a purpose. The human body is very rare and very special and should be honored very carefully. But the food for the driver is different than the food for the body. You cannot be nourished drinking petrol. What is it that we need? We need love. We need the love of God, which is eternal.
And how to achieve this? That is the most important question in life. In the age of Kali, very rare does a single person even ponder this question. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschid mam veti tattvata. Human life is so rare. It's the junction in which we can realize our eternal reality. And the greatest disaster in all the cosmic manifestation, according to the Puranas, is to get this human form of life after the soul evolves to 8 million species. We have the chance to realize our eternal life. To waste this human life and to die without self-realization, that is disaster. Death of the body is inevitable. That's not so bad. But to die without realizing our eternal self, without loving God, that is a tragedy. Krishna explains in Gita that to realize the Supreme Truth is very easy. It just takes sincerity. Adoshata tata sadhu sangota bhajanakriya. If we have a little faith that there's something beyond, Krishna will take us and give us the association of saintly persons. In that association, we learn the process. Yat karosi rasnasi, yajtohosi tatasi yat. Prabhupada, sitting here at Cross Maidan, told the citizens of Bombay, there is no need for you to change your occupation or your family situation. It's just a matter of changing your consciousness. After all, Arjuna was a fighter before Bhagavad Gita was spoken, and he was a fighter after Bhagavad Gita was spoken. What was the difference between Arjuna before and after? Transformation of consciousness. Atapumbir vijastrestas varana shrami vibhagasha shvanushtatasya dharmasya samsidir haditoshinam. Whether you are a housewife or a teacher, student, doctor, industrialist, businessman, engineer, newspaper reporter, Swami, whatever we may be, the perfection of our life is to perform our acts in such a way that Krishna is pleased. Rasoham apsukonteya. Krishna explains that you can understand God in a very practical purpose. Even a common person, understand how everything is coming from Krishna. He's the taste of water. He's the light of the sun of the moon. Whatever we see should remind us of Krishna. One time a devotee asked Prabhupada, how do we see Krishna in everything? And Prabhupada said, when you see my spectacles, what do you think? And that devotee said, I think that these are Prabhupada's spectacles. He said, so you are seeing me in those spectacles. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. Everything is the property of God. Everything we have, our intelligence, our body, our strength, our abilities, our wealth, our relationships, they are all gifts of God. And they are all meant for God's service. It is as simple as that. When Lord Chaitanya was at one devotee's house, in the southern part of India, that devotee, he said,
I am miserable in this family life. Wife, children, occupation. I have decided that I will renounce it all and go with you in the renounced order. And Lord Chaitanya told to him, do not speak such nonsense ever again. There is no need for you to change your position. Just change your consciousness. By chanting the names of God, by associating with devotees of God, and by sharing this great wealth with others. This is called Yukta Vairagya. Learning how to utilize whatever we have with all of our talents in harmony with the real nature of our souls, which is the service of the Lord. How to enter into this realm of consciousness. It is said, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajya Kabunoi Sravanadi Sudichiti Koriye Udoi. That eternal perfection is within the heart of every living being. Krishna Prema. It simply has to be awakened. Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition on the mind. It is the original, natural state of every living being. And how is it awakened? Om apavitra pavitro va sarvavastam gatopi va yasmaret pundarikaksam sabhaya vyantara suchi. Because Krishna is all pure. When we associate with Krishna, we become purified. The ultimate perfection of life can be achieved simply by remembering Krishna. It is described that of all the teachings and all the rules and regulations of the Vedic literatures and all the scriptures of the whole world, they are all meant to bring us to understand the two supremest injunctions. To always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. This is the essence of all spiritual paths. Jesus said, what is your life if you gain the whole world but lose your immortal soul? Make your treasure not in this world, but in the kingdom of God. Because the treasures of this world will be eaten by moths, stolen by thieves, and corroded by rust. The kingdom of God is within. Sarva dharman puritya jamam ekam sharanam vraja. Manmana bhavamad bhaktom madhyajim nam namaskuru. How do we put our treasure into the kingdom of God? By always remembering Him. God is all pure. By simply remembering Him, we become purified. Because Krishna is all attractive, simply by remembering Him in a spirit of devotion, our hearts become endlessly attracted in love. Kalikale Namarupe Krishnavatar. And the Lord has made it so easy to remember Him. The Lord has incarnated within the sound vibration of the name. Nam Namakari Bahuda Nita Sarvashaktis. The Supreme Personality of God has many names, called upon in many different religions. And all of these names are invested with the power and the opulence of the Lord because the name is none different than Krishna. Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. The name of God has descended from the spiritual world. All the opulence, beauty, and mercy of Krishna is within the name. And Krishna's name is so sweet. I remember one time I was sitting on a campus in a university in America, and I was chanting Hare Krishna. And there was a fundamentalist Christian preacher on the other side of the lawn. And there was about 300-400 people gathered around him. He was telling everyone that they were going to hell forever. You smoke cigarette, you go to hell forever. You have girlfriend, you go to hell forever. So he attracted a big crowd. Not of sincere listeners. They were all laughing at him. And then somebody yelled, "What about that Hare Krishna over there? Where is he going?" He said, "He's going to hell forever." So I said, "Well, why don't you go tell him?" So he came with all 400 people. They made a big circle around. And he said, "You are going to hell forever." I said, "Really?" I said, "Well, where are you going?" He said, "I am going to heaven." I said, "Well, if you're going to heaven, I'll probably be happier in hell." And then I asked him, "But why am I going to hell?" He said, "Because you are worshiping a false god." I said, "Well, how do you know he's a false god?" He said, "Because Krishna is a false god." I said, "Do you know what Krishna means?" He said, "Yes, false god." I said, "Well, should I tell you what Krishna means? Let me ask you a question. Does the god that you worship own everything?" He said, "Yes." "Is the god that you worship all-powerful?" "Yes." "Does he know everything, past, present, and future?" "Yes." "Is he the most beautiful and attractive?" "Yes." "What else?" "Strength. Is he all-powerful?" "Yes." I said, "So is your god all-attractive?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Well, Krishna means all-attractive. So that means your god is Krishna." And he said, "Really?" He said, "My god is Krishna." I said, "Yes. If he's all attractive, then Krishna means all attractive." He said, "Hare Krishna." And then all the 400 students started chanting Hare Krishna. Indrajumana Swami Maharaj was speaking, "Sarva yone shukuntiya murtiya sambhavandija aham bija pratapita." That there is one supreme absolute truth who is the father and mother of all living beings. God has many names, but Krishna's name is very special because it includes all other names of God. Therefore, in this age of Kali, Haranama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. The Yuga Dharma is described. In this age, there's no other way of achieving the highest perfection of intimate, ecstatic love of God except through chanting the names of the Lord. Any of the names of the Lord. But in Kali Santarana Upanishad, it describes, "Iti Soda Shakam Nam Nam Kali Kalmasha Nashanam," that this Hare Krishna mantra, 16 syllables, 32 syllables, 16 words, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. It is the Maha Mantra. It includes all other mantras, and it's the perfect prescription for the disease of ignorance that people are suffering in this age of Kali.
Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he recognized, honored, and adored anyone chanting any of the names of the Lord. But he especially, personally, chanted this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And what is the result? Cheto Dharapana Marajanam Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam. The mind is like a mirror. When you look in a mirror, what are you supposed to see? We're supposed to see ourselves. But what happens if that mirror is covered by layers and layers and layers of dust, dirt, and debris that have been accumulating for hundreds and hundreds of years? Millions of births. All we see is the dirt. The soul is effulgent like the sun. The soul is full of spiritual light. The soul is meant to see God and love God. But when the soul looks into the mirror of the mind, all we see is the dirt accumulated by lust, envy, anger, pride, greed, and illusion. And all the designations we're identifying ourselves with. This chanting of the names of the Lord has the power to clean the mirror of the heart and make it pure. So through our mind, the soul could see the transparent nature of the soul and Krishna. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya said, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. It is the prime benediction for all humanity, this chanting of the names of the Lord, Nam Sankirtan. It provides the greatest benediction, eternal happiness, eternal life, and eternal love. And that is what everyone is longing for. Brahmabhuta prasanatma na sochati na kankshati samasaraveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. When one attains this spiritual platform of Brahmabhuta, one becomes prasanatma, joyful. How many people here this evening want to be happy? How many want to help your loved ones to become happy? But what type of happiness? Yehi samsparashita bhoga dukha jonaye te atyanta vanta konte anate shuramate buddha. The type of happiness that is temporary and is later degraded into suffering? Or real happiness, eternal happiness. When we attain this spiritual platform, we actually become joyful. Nasochati nakangshati. We no longer hanker or lament. This is what the world is about. Hankering for what we don't have and lamenting for what we lose. But on the Brahmabhuta platform, we are self-satisfied. In that state, Krishna says, one engages in bhakti, in the eternal occupation of the soul, the loving service of the Lord. Samasaraveshu bhuteshu. And then one becomes the well-wishing, loving friend of all living beings. People talk about universal brotherhood and sisterhood. There is so much conflict in this world. Conflict between castes. Communism and capitalism. Conflict between various financial and social divisions. Conflict between sexes.
conflict between nations.
When was there ever a time in our modern history where there wasn't wars going on? Fighting over what belongs to God. And in Kali Yuga, people are even hating and killing in the name of religion, which means complete ignorance of the essence of religion.
Sama sarvesu bhuteshu. If one is actually in touch with Krishna or God,
then one sees a part of God in every person's heart.
One becomes a compassionate instrument of God's love in whatever one does in life. In our occupation, in our family situation, in our renounced situation, whatever we do, our only purpose is to be an instrument of God's love.
Because we see every living being is part of God.
Covered by different disease conditions, perhaps, but we can only love the soul. That is the only platform where there can be real unity, peace, and happiness within this world.
When we realize Krishna and understand every living being's relation to Krishna, that is the greatest need in the world today.
We saw recently this great catastrophe, this tsunami wave crashed against the shores of various countries of Asia. Our dear godbrother Indrajumna Swami Maharaj has just spent many weeks in Sri Lanka giving both emotional, physical, and spiritual relief to people whose lives were utterly devastated.
Padam padam yad vipatam natesham.
It is the nature of this world that there is danger at every step.
If human society is exploiting the resources of the world, just greedily drilling unlimited oil, polluting the oceans, the sky, polluting the land, blowing nuclear bombs in the face of the earth, soaking Mother Earth with millions of gallons of blood of innocent animals just to eat them, taking the sacred land of the earth instead of to grow nice food, to grow tobacco, opium, grains for alcohol, which simply infatuate, intoxicate, and degrade people's lives, killing tens and millions of innocent children in the very womb that God created to protect them. And when material nature, Mother Earth, simply gives reactions, how can we blame God? Human society is creating a massive mess. But we're not going to clean up the atmosphere unless we clean first the ecology of our hearts. Overcome greed, lust, pride, and envy, and hatred.
Then we can actually do something substantially good in this world.
From the ocean of material existence, a massive wave of ignorance has crashed upon the shores of human society and has practically devastated people's lives. But there's another wave. From the ocean Krishna is Karuna
Sindhu,
from the ocean of God's kindness. And that wave of bhakti, which has come in the form of the association of devotees in the holy name of the Lord, that wave of bhakti, even a drop from it, can flood the entire universe with love and happiness. And it was for that purpose that Srila Prabhupada gave his life and soul to help us. Yes, Srila Prabhupada left India and he brought a massive wave of Krishna's love, Krishna's devotion. And he flooded so many millions of people's hearts. So please, it is my most fervent and sincere appeal. Do not waste your lives eating the hot sand in the mirages of the desert. Understand where that great reservoir of real water is in the loving service of the Lord. And awaken, awaken within your hearts and make your life successful by the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. When Lord Chaitanya was in South India, he met a simple Brahmin. That Brahmin did not know how to read properly. He was illiterate. But he was living in the high seat of learning for the whole south part of India, Srirangam. And in the courtyard of Ranganath Temple, every day he'd read Bhagavad Gita. But he could not pronounce it properly. And all the hundreds and hundreds of pundits who had perfect grammatical Sanskrit scholarship, they laughed at him. They ridiculed him. They criticized him. Ah, just see how he is reading Bhagavad Gita. And they'd imitate how he would say the words wrong. But he didn't care. He just went on reading, very humble, every day. So Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself, in his most magnanimous, merciful incarnation, he happened to see him. He saw him crying when he was reading the Gita. He said, "Please tell me, which part of Gita is bringing you such happiness?" He said, "Actually, I do not pronounce it properly, and I do not understand what I'm reading. But my Guru Maharaj, he ordered me to read Gita every day. So even though I am unfit, it is my service to Guru to at least try." When Lord Chaitanya heard this, his heart melted. Vyavashayatmaka budhir ekeha kudu nandana buhushaka hirantasya budhayo vyavashayanam. If we want to make spiritual progress, we have to have determination. Determination to follow the order of Guru and Krishna. Lord Chaitanya became very pleased with him. He said, "Then why you are crying? If you don't understand..." He says, "As I'm just trying to serve my Gurudev by reading, I'm remembering in my heart Krishna. He's the supreme absolute truth, the all-powerful Lord who loves his devotees so much that he's serving his devotee in the menial position as his chariot driver. He has a beautiful blackish complexion and lovely lotus-like eyes. Remembering that form of my Lord is bringing ecstasy to my heart."
Lord Chaitanya embraced him and said, "You are the authority who understands the truth of Bhagavad Gita. It is not simply by scholarship. It is by sincerity and devotion. So please, everyone, take advantage of this wonderful Krishna consciousness movement. Try to understand this wonderful gift that Srila Prabhupada has given. It's not his gift. He's simply presenting the eternal truth and the eternal path to achieve that proof. The chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. I thank you very much.